everybody, and welcome to Redskins Park and Monday Morning Redskins Roundup presented by Verizon. Yes, indeed, we are live from the home of the NFC East champions in 2012. That would be the Washington Redskins, who won it last night, late last night, at just jubilant, pandemonium-filled FedEx Field, 28-18 over the Dallas Cowboys, and will host the Seattle Seahawks next Sunday afternoon at 4:30 at FedEx Field in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. Good morning, Antoine Randall.
Morning, Chris Russell. How are you?
Not Cliff, Chris. Man, I'm telling you, wow. 28-18, division champs from 3-6, and you know we've been doing this show all year, and you know, it was tough grinding it out some weeks after some bad losses, specifically Pittsburgh and Carolina, where it seemed
especially
like
Carolina.
Especially Carolina.
That was a rough one.
That, you know, they often say when you hit the bottom of despair, you know, you can only go one way from that point up. And the Redskins just went steadily up to a 7-game winning streak. And they needed every single one of those wins and won the division last night and now get to host a playoff game.
Yeah, winning 7 straight, now able to host a playoff game. I think the biggest thing we look at is just tying all the wins together and the plays that have been made over time, offense, defense. We talked about special teams stepping up and make some big-time plays. So that's what's been happening over these last 7 games. And you talk about games coming down to the wire, they've had that. You talk about games that have really been a blowout and not in the balance, they've had that. They have some games where they just, you know, won back a couple touchdowns right at the end or whatever. But for the most part, they just showed up and played football. And that's what we've seen yesterday, even with Dallas. I mean, it was one of the games where they started out slow and kind of got going. And once the offense kind of got clicking, because the defense was there making big-time plays, getting turnovers, although we didn't get points off of it right away. But at the same time, you know, everybody showed up to play and made it work.
Well, you mentioned the offense got clicking. I mean, the passing game never really got clicking, although it made a play or two here and there. It was the running game that really got clicking. And that's where, you know, look, I know Kyle Shanahan has rightfully gotten a lot of credit this year. And again, I was defending him and advocating his brilliance and creativity over the last 2 years when they had really nothing to work with. But the patience, not getting away from something that maybe initially wasn't working as great as you wanted it to in a lot of different ways. The patience, knowing that you win a game by wearing down an opponent. I mean, you played this game at the highest level. You played and won a Super Bowl with one of the greatest running backs this game has seen.
Right.
You know what effect that
running game, you gotta
breaking the will of an opponent has on your opponent, right?
Exactly. You got to be able to have a running game, you know, come in and get some things done. You look at the way the offense started out yesterday, and you can tell Dallas wanted to keep Alfred Morris inside, force him inside to the linebackers and the D tackles and try to eat him up that way. But Alfred, at some point, just got to the point where he got outside and was able to break contain, whether he got around Spencer or if we got around DeMarcus Ware. And once he did that, it kind of opened up everything else. But the patience, again, like Chris just mentioned in terms of Kyle Shanahan, staying with the run and not abandoning it early, and it paid off later on. Because when you get a guy that can run and make some big-time plays like that, Alfred Morris, I mean, he just came through time and time again. We always talk about him running and making big-time plays, but making some plays and running and, you know, after contact. He was contacted several times and came out of it and made, you know, 10, 11, 20 yards after that. So you got to give him credit as well. But Kyle Shanahan, keep dialing it up. Like you said, passing game wasn't quite there, but was able to make some plays to still keep Dallas, you know, off balance, if you will.
33 carries for 200 yards for Robert, 6 for 63, including the touchdown. Right. Of course, Alfred had 3 touchdowns. I mean, you know, you talk about a triple threat, or I guess in this case, a quadruple threat, just because that's where all the touchdowns came from in this game. The Redskins overall, of course, in case you don't like watch stats and all that stuff, 274 net yards rushing. And they also set a single season franchise mark, eclipsing what they had done in, I believe, 1933 was the year. 1983. My bad. But there was another stat that I saw at like 3 o'clock this morning that was something to do with 1933. I'll get that for you.
I think it could have been Alfred Morris, 200 yards, and Cliff Battles also had 200 yards.
Well, there were a lot of records set throughout the course of this year, and I know I saw one about the
rookie.
Boston Redskins. But anyway, the point is the Redskins set and redefined their record books, both as an individual franchise, individual players. Alfred breaking Clinton Portis' single-season rushing mark. Clinton was there. Certainly happy for him, and doing it in the style in which they did on the biggest stage that you can. I mean, short of a Super Bowl, I know it's not a playoff game, but I challenge you to find me a more electric, more important, more charged atmosphere than win and you're in, lose and you go home.
Yeah.
For both teams, like a playoff game would, Sunday Night Football at home between these bitter rivals. I mean, you're not going to find a bigger stage than that.
Right, and that was a good thing. Obviously, we always talk about the flex schedule and them being able to move games from one spot to the next, and that was big to move the Redskins game to the 8-15 game. And when you look at it, the draw it brought. I mean, everybody was anticipating, seeing what Chicago would do early on in the day, seeing what Minnesota did just before the Redskins games happened, and it really just came down to Redskins having to win and focus on them getting that W, and that's what they did. They came out and played, like we said, extremely well, got some plays, even on special teams in terms of getting downfield and making tackles. But one of the things we got to continue to look at is, you know, the offense and defense, you know, complementing one another. Mm-hmm. We got to look at having a game at home and that magnitude and the atmosphere, the fans being behind them. And certainly this game coming up against Seattle is going to be no different. No, it's not a rival, but again, it's playoff time, and this is something that the Redskins fans, you know, certainly want, haven't experienced a whole lot recently, so they certainly want to be out there cheering and be right there for their team.
All right, here it is. We were both right. Charlie pointed out correctly, and you pointed out as well. The Redskins finished with 2,709 rushing yards on the season, which does break the team record for most rushing yards in a season set in 1983, 2,625. So, you know, 84 more rushing yards. The number that I was talking about was they led the league as a team, of course, for the rushing crown in the 2012 year. It was the first time the Redskins had led the league as a team since 1933 when they were the Boston Redskins at that point leading the league with 2,000.
Way back in the day.
258 rushing yards.
Larry called every one of those games.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, I don't generate these numbers. I just pass them along to the masses. Without further ado, let's take a look back at the video highlights of last night's 28-18 win, and then we'll go inside the locker room and hear from several of the victorious NFC East champion Redskins, and we'll let Antoine kind of cycle through these highlights and take you through what he
Alfred
was able to
ready.
See. The man on center stage, Alfred Morris.
Yeah, we talk about defense, though. Defense putting pressure on Tony Romo, and that's what they did. That was the idea, to come out, put pressure on Tony Romo, and put him in a situation where they can get points. They got the turnovers and obviously didn't get points off the turnover. The first miss, by Kai Forbath. Unusual for him to do it, but everybody feels like the train had to stop somewhere, stop right there. And again, now people don't say this is pressure, but you still look at the pressure from Rob Jackson pushing the defender back into Tony Romo.
Horrible throw.
It was a horrible throw. He probably should not have thrown it because the safety Madu was coming over the top as well. And then we talk about not getting pressure. But this is one of those things you want to kind of play it and see what you could do with just the three guys rushing. They should have called the delay of game because it was there. But you see right there Witten playing dodgeball with Riley and actually getting open after a while.
Looked like Cofield was held on that too.
He was down in the middle. But again, we got back to the running game. And this is kind of what got everybody going in terms of running game. Alfred made some big-time plays. And we see right there, this is a play right here too. Grunting and making plays after he's been in contact and continue to get up the field. He made some big-time runs, and this is where he broke the record, and he continued to move on after that. It wasn't just, hey, I broke the record. Mm-hmm. Now things are done, but no. And they kept DeMarcus Ware in the box. He didn't know what to do in terms of tackling. Was he going to tackle Alfred or go after RG3? And sometimes Darrell Young's even blocked him. This is what we talked about, getting a hat on the hat. Everybody is blocked except for Anthony Spencer. It allows Alfred Morris to get up on the safety, and once you make that safety miss, it's lights out after that. And Alfred did a great job all day. As you see right there, making the safety miss and splitting the defenders, getting up the field. He did a great job all day, again, breaking tackles.
Love that freeze frame. Love that freeze
frame.
Exactly. Because
it shows everything. And again, pressure up the middle, and it just put Tony Romo on the spot. You put pressure on him, he puts the ball up and gives the defense an opportunity to get the interception, and certainly did. And this is a big play right here, getting this touchdown again, giving him his one yard. He's a 199 for a while on two plays there, but got it at the end in terms of getting 200 yards and going over the top. This is an all-around game just in terms of the running game. You want to see everybody blocking and getting a hat on the hat and making some big-time plays, the spring alpha, and you saw that throughout the day, which opened up everything else. Sometimes it's RG3 with a couple of runs and then opens up the run game, but certainly, like we said, they had DeMarcus wearing a box. He really didn't know what to do. He didn't know if he was going to get blocked by Darrell Young, right, if he's going to go out to Alpha to RG3, but they did a great job. And like you said earlier, we got to give credit to Kyle Shanahan with staying with the running game and not abandoning it.
Yeah, 33 rushes for Morris, and obviously a lot of success, 200 yards, 6.1 average. Again, Robert, with 6 for 63. So they ran the ball over 40 times in this game, which is just something you don't see. But we all knew that that was going to be part of the game plan against an interior of the Dallas Cowboy defense, missing Jay Ratliff, Sean Lee, missing Bruce Carter. Right. Safeties were questionable, backed off because of respecting the deep passing game that the Redskins were able to throw at them on Thanksgiving Day and have shown at times. But that's the beauty of this offense. It can be almost, I guess, chameleon-like, where they can show a different color, a different form, a different style, not only week to week, Antoine, but almost series to series, quarter to quarter, half to half. Right. I mean, it changes constantly. And if you're an opposing defense, sometimes you have no earthly clue what's coming at you, which is the whole point.
That's the whole point. That's kind of what you want. If you look at the first game, if you go back and look at Dallas and the Redskins, the first game, you see they really got off to a great start. They had some big passes over the top, had the running game going. And then towards the end of the game, they kind of slowed down a little bit, and Dallas started making a little comeback as they did many times throughout the season. But this was kind of in the reverse. You know, they didn't start off as fast, but at the end, they really shut the door and didn't give Dallas a chance to get back in the game. And that's one of the things you want to see, the change in terms of the progression of your team. You know, being able to shut the door and close everything down and move on, you know, to the next step. And that's what they did yesterday. That was a big-time closeout.
You realize this is the seventh time in the last 13 years. Cowboys are now 2-11 in season-closing regular season games. In
those six or seven of had to Romo, and Romo hadn't been able to close the door.
Well, not only that, but in the 13 games where they're 2-11, they've also, in those 13 years, lost two in a row at least to end the year. Six out of those 13 years.
Yes,
six out of those 13 years in which they've lost at least two in a row. You combine the overtime loss against the New Orleans Saints. All right, let's go inside the locker room. We're going to get all your tweets, comments, questions. Send them in at Redskins, hashtag them Redskins Talk. Why don't we say hello to London Fletcher, who dropped an interception but had two critical sacks and part of the inside-outside pass rush game that we're going to break down and get into more in detail next segment. But London Fletcher inside the Redskins locker room.
Tough to think about. You know, you think about what this group of men was able to do, winning seven in a row. Nobody really gave us a chance at 3-6, but to reel off seven in a row, put ourselves in this position to win a division. It's just I'm speechless right now.
They dialed up some defensive rushes that were just outstanding at the right time tonight.
Yeah, you know, the game plan was a great game plan. We weren't going to sit back and let them pick us apart like we did in Dallas. The first time we played some soft coverage. Today we decided to get after him. We were able to get some pressure on him, get some interception. The first interception that Crawl got was off our pressure defense. Rob's interception was off pressure defense. You know, just one of those days where defense stepped up.
You look like you got shot out of a gun going through there.
Yeah, old legs was feeling fresh today. Yeah, I went to the wheel today.
London, I guess with the confidence this team has in the playoffs, no telling when this might end, huh?
You know what? Really for us, we're not finished yet. We got to, getting into the playoffs is not our goal. Only we got some big goals ahead of ourselves, and we know we got another tough ball game next weekend. But, hey, it's going to be at home, and we'll be ready to play.
Thank you, buddy. Good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right, London Fletcher, who had a key sack, well, two sacks, did drop the one interception that could have led to 7 points for the Redskins. Who knows, maybe a pick six. But the one sack early on in the game, after on the second series for the Cowboys, which helped pave the way for the second interception, the Josh Wilson interception that we saw in the highlight package. Again, the Redskins opened that game up, Antoine, with an interception on the first series on a 3rd and 8 by Richard Crawford, which we showed over the middle of the football field because of pressure. And then London setting and paving the way for the first sack, kind of shot almost out of the middle of just space. I don't want to say he shot up the middle. He just kind of saw Tony Romo move to his right and got it done. And then that led to the Josh Wilson interception. We'll come back and talk more in detail about the defense and see what Antoine saw and kind of go over things for Jim Haslett's troops coming up next on Monday Morning Redskins Roundup.
As the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, Papa John's is excited for this week's big games. Get Papa John's in your house to watch your favorite NFL team. Because after all, great football deserves a better pizza. Hey, Redskins fans, it's Papa John's toppings for touchdowns time. Every Monday, get a large pizza for just $9.99 and a free topping for every Redskins touchdown. Double the toppings with a Redskins victory. Papa John's, official pizza of the Washington Redskins.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Bob.
Oh, hey, Alex.
Just picking up some brochures, posters, copies of my acceptance speech.
Great. It's always good to have a backup plan in case I get hit by a meteor.
Wow, your hair looks great. Didn't realize they did Photoshop here.
Hey, good call on those mugs. Can't let them see what you're drinking.
You know, I'm glad we're both running a nice, clean race. No need to get nasty.
Here's your honk if you had an affair with Taylor yard sign.
Looks good.
FedEx Office. Now save 50% on banners.
This is perfect.
Packers are gonna be tough this year.
Hope so.
Aww. Yeah! I mean, aw, yeah.
That's 6 sacks on the season.
Actually, it's 7.
Even better, baby.
With NFL Mobile from Verizon, no one will know the game better than you.
Hey, Matthew!
Well, almost no one. Watch live NFL games Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights on NFL Mobile and experience football on Verizon 4G LTE.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the Geico app today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Monday Morning Redskins Roundup presented by Verizon. We're here live at Redskins Park on a Victory Monday and an NFC East Divisional Championship. Mm-hmm. Victory Monday for the 10-6 Washington Redskins. You beat the Dallas Cowboys late last night at FedEx Field, 28-18, and will host Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks Sunday afternoon at FedEx at 4:30. Along with Antoine Randall-El, I'm Chris Russell. Great to have you with us here on Redskins.com, CSNWashington.com. Again, you can watch the show anytime on demand, 24/7. We'll get to all your comments, tweets, comments, and questions at Redskins, hashtag Redskins Talk. We'll go back inside the locker room in just a little bit with Trent Williams. He'll be first up, and then we'll hear from Mike Shanahan and Robert Griffin III, plus Larry Michael will join us for his weekly visit. But Antoine, we start with the defense, and there's so much to highlight. We heard from London Fletcher. We mentioned the one sack on the second drive, the other sack on a 3rd and 10 after the Redskins had made it 21-10, which was key because the next series, the offense didn't do anything, and that's when they gave up that big punt return, right, which led to the quick touchdown when Sav Rocca basically gave Dwayne Harris an Australian rules clothesline. So a huge sack there, but there were other guys that stepped up. We mentioned Crawford and Josh Wilson with the early interceptions. We saw Rob Jackson's interception. But I know a guy who stood out to you, and I talked about this all week, the kind of coverage that he would provide and how the Redskins would try and win this game, and it was D'Angelo Hall against Dez Bryant.
D'Angelo Hall made some big-time plays against Dez Bryant, and it wasn't just I'm in zone coverage and I got some help underneath. He was on the island sometimes in terms of man-to-man, and D'Angelo Hall really stepped up. I mean, this comes down to, you know, one-on-one, how can you beat me? When you go over the top, can you come up short? Can you make some plays underneath? For the most part, for the whole game, D'Angelo Hall was just all over Dez Bryant and got him to the point where he even got him out of the game. So he made some big-time plays, and a lot of that we give credit. We talked about how the defense works together in terms of the front seven getting pressure on the quarterback and then the corners and the safety have an opportunity to make plays. Everything works hand-in-hand. Certainly the pressure that they put on Tony Romo, maybe affected, you know, him getting the ball out to Dez Bryant as much. And every time he tried, D'Angelo Hall was always there. I think he had three or four pass breakups on Dez Bryant alone. So he was making some big-time plays. And when you have a guy like D'Angelo Hall who is making some big-time plays like that, and you got your defense putting pressure on there, it opens up everything else. And certainly he locked down Dez Bryant, you know, for the entire game, their go-to guy who they needed to make some plays.
Yeah, now Dez Bryant did get banged up at one point during the game, and they actually scored the touchdown on that drive after that Savraca clothesline. I mean, look, that's not really on the defense. The punt return and the personal foul put them in really bad position. So it wasn't a perfect game for this defense, but from a standpoint of basically limiting the Dallas Cowboys, certainly to under 20, with the way they had been playing offense, and knowing that Josh Wilson had struggled man-to-man against Dez Bryant in Dallas on Thanksgiving, I thought, and I had talked about, I think we talked about this on Monday, that being the key matchup as we were leaving, getting ready for this game, that D'Angelo was going to have to basically replace Josh. And Josh was deployed creatively with a lot of corner backside blitzes. Yes. And because D'Angelo was able to go side to side, man to man, left, right, wherever Dez Bryant went, and Hazlitt could trust him to do that, like, look, for better or worse, D'Angelo has done for the most part since he's been here, it allowed you to do so many more things.
When you have a guy like that, I mean, it's easier for the defensive coordinator to make some calls. I mean, anytime you can open up your book, and you open up your playbook, and you can call all the defensive zone blitzes you want, because you know the backside you have help in terms of D'Angelo Hall making plays. Anytime you open up your defensive playbook and book, and you can make some man-to-man calls and leave him on the island with Dez Bryant, it gives you the opportunity to make some calls that you would not normally make against a team like Dallas, against a Dez Bryant. But then, again, we give a lot of credit to D'Angelo Hall. He stepped up. We got to give a lot of credit to that defense in terms of them making those plays and putting pressure on Tony Romo, because that's what it came down to. It came down to just making plays when the ball was in your direction, when it comes to tackling, or when it comes to just batting down balls. He was there throughout the game, and you got to give him credit for that, because that is unseen. That you to see that and have that happen going into the playoffs is certainly a positive for the Skins.
Yeah, it seems like the secondary has clearly been an area of concern all year, yet in the biggest game of the year, that's when they – I don't want to say they did it alone, because certainly, again, the pressure was part of that, but they generated part of that pressure. We mentioned Josh Wilson with those zone backside blitzes, and then D'Angelo Reed Dowdy had, I thought, a very good game. And this is without Dejon Gomes, with DJ Johnson being banged up early in the game. Richard Crawford at one point got banged up. I mean, they were pretty thin there. And this secondary, led by Raheem Morris and, of course, deployed by Jim Hazlitt, came up the biggest that they had to come up in the biggest game of the year.
And making those plays. I mean, we can't say enough about, you know, the overall aspect of, you know, Coach Jim Hazlitt putting guys in the right position, in the right place to make these plays. I mean, we talk about Josh Wilson and the plays he made. I mean, down the field on some long bomb passes, even on the third down play on a quick out route by Dallas wide receivers, he was able to get there and get the ball out, you know, to make sure there wasn't a conversion. So, I mean, everybody stepped up and made some big-time plays. I mean, D'Angelo Hall, we got to put him at top because he's going against Dez Bryant. But you look at the rest of the defense, the blitz, the pressure they were able to put on Tony Romo. And when they weren't hitting him in terms of putting pressure or sacking him, they were in his face, getting up, batting down balls. So it just came down to an overall defensive game in terms of that need to play. And they stepped up and did it. And we talked about them doing it for four quarters this time. And they certainly did that.
One last thing on the defense, and then we'll go back to the offense and we'll work our way kind of through this entire team effort. Because quite honestly, it was an entire team effort, even though the special teams kind of struggled a little bit last night. Talking to Barry Cofield late last night after the game, he said, I knew when I came in on Wednesday, I wasn't going to have a big production game. I knew my job in this game was different than what it had been against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I knew I just wasn't going to have the opportunities. Somebody else was going to have to make plays because of the way Jim Hazlitt and his staff had devised the game plan. He knew on Wednesday morning that he wasn't going to be a major impact player, but have a different kind of impact and occupying double teams to allow the corner blitzes and the interior twist blitzes.
Yep.
Exactly. And that's what I guess is the brilliance of a team working together, is that he wasn't upset. Stephen Bowen wasn't upset. Right. Jarvis Jenkins wasn't upset. And they have had their time to shine, yet last night it was another part of the unit's time to shine.
And that's what it comes down to. When you talk about team, you talk about everybody stepping up and making the plays when they're supposed to make the plays. And sometimes you're making a play with just doing the little things, just being in the gap where you're supposed to be. Maybe you're not freeing yourself up, you're not getting the sack, but you're freeing somebody else to make that big-time play. And it comes down to that. I mean, we talk about team all the time, how, you know, football is the ultimate team sport. If you look at other sports, you can get a guy who go off and score 80 points on the basketball on the basketball court. You look at baseball, you get a guy who's pitching and pitching no-hitter. Yeah, you get some guy, he can actually go to the point where he strikes out everybody. But in football, you need everybody to show up and make the big-time plays and be where they need to be when they're supposed to be there to make sure the team is doing and, you know, being productive in what they need to do.
All right, we've heard from one co-captain already, that of the defense, London Fletcher, and now we'll go back to the offense to hear from another co-captain. Talking to Trent Williams late last night after the game, asked him about leadership. He's a third-year guy and a Pro Bowler. Robert Griffin, the other co-captain on offense, of course, at the end of his first year as a rookie Pro Bowler. What that leadership kind of did to fuel this team. And after the game, Trent Williams with Larry and Sonny in the locker room.
I know you like the hat, Trent Williams, and I like the outcome. Now, what do you say when you got a running back? The offensive line does a heck of a job today, right, and you guys just about ran it down their throats. How does this feel?
It feels great. You know, words can't explain this feeling. It's my first playoff game I'm going to remember this season for, you know, as long as I live. And, you know, I'm just really proud of Alfred. He runs, you know, with everything he has, and it shows on the field.
263 yards rushing.
God, I didn't know all that.
He had 200. Alfred had 200.
Hey, that just goes to show you what type of back he is, you know. In a big stage like this to run for 200 yards, you know, a lot of people don't do that.
All right, tell us about this team's confidence, because getting into the playoffs is the first goal for your team.
Right, getting in the playoffs, but, you know, when you get there, that no records don't matter. You know, it's one game at a time, and anything could happen. You know, as you see last year, the Giants got in at 9-7, and they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, now the playing field is pretty level.
Well, did you hear that crowd out there? Tell us about the atmosphere tonight in the stadium. That was sick.
It was electric. It was crazy. You know, I've never been a part of anything like this in my NFL career. You know, we feed off our fans, and they really brought it tonight.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Trent Williams.
All right, so Trent Williams, one of the co-captains on offense, getting it done in the Redskins locker room. Let's squeeze in a couple of quick tweets and comments before we get too far behind on that, and we'll come back and hear from the voice of the Redskins, Larry Michael, and head coach Mike Shanahan. Rusty Shackelford asks, at Redskins, hashtag Redskins talk, that's a Dallas sweep for the NFC East title. When was the last time the Redskins swept Dallas? Well, it was before you got here, 2005.
Yeah, that was before I got here.
Yeah.
That's the year they went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they won six in a row, five in a row to end the regular season, and then a sixth playoff, and then a sixth win at Tampa before losing at Seattle. And so key, because they lost to Seattle after the 2005 season in Seattle in the second round, at Seattle game, mm-hmm. of course, you were part of
right.
in 2007. But again, at Seattle, now you get Seattle, and it's back here. In this cross-country playoff rivalry. So whatever that means is what it means. Also, Anthony Salazar talked so much about Alfred Morris. Where does he stand in the league in rushing after last night's performance? You know what? It doesn't matter where he stands in the league. Here's where he stands. In the end zone three times. And the bottom line is now he stands alone in the single-season franchise rushing mark. There's been some good running backs that have come down the pike for the Washington Redskins, right. and now Alfred Morris stands alone in that category. I don't care where he rates amongst the league. The bottom line is he's a guy who just – he's never going to pop off. And he's long this year, Antoine, was 39 yards, a touchdown in Tampa Bay. He's never going to rip off a 75-yard run, so he's never going to be a 2,000-yard back like Adrian Peterson. I shouldn't say never, unlikely.
There's one thing with Alfred, his yards come after contact. I mean,
yes.
That's one thing you got to kind of look at. I mean, you get Adrian Peterson who got a boatload of speed and strength in terms of breaking tackles and then going the distance. Alfred, I think he'll become that. It's just a matter of time to get to that point.
You think he can be even better than he was?
Yes, indeed. I think he can be even better than what he was this year. And this is a guy, again, you know, when it comes to breaking tackles and getting up the field, this is what he does. You can collision him and he's going to shake it off and get up the field. And I think the speed in terms of just getting to where he needs to be as his career moves forward, I think he'll get faster and be able to break some of those tackles even more and take it the distance. Like you said, 39 was his long this year, but at the same time, those come after, you know, contact either early at the line or in a secondary, if you will, but still breaking tackles, get up the field. And I think, I mean, right now he's second or third in the league, you know, in terms of rushing. So
no, you're absolutely right. I was obviously doing a little bit of shtick there.
Yeah,
Where he ranked, he did finish second in the NFL in rushing yards at 1,613 and rushing touchdowns, 13 behind Adrian Peterson and Arian Foster in that category. So second overall in rushing yards at 1,613 behind Peterson, and then second in rushing touchdowns at 13. More of your comments, tweets, and questions at Redskins. Hashtag Redskins Talk. It's Monday morning. Redskins Roundup head coach Mike Shanahan and Larry Michael on the way.
Hey, are you hibernating, Ticket Oak?
I'm not a bear, Ben.
Well, I got this Ticket Oak on the stupid internet, and there's no tickets for Sunday's game.
Ben, that's a turnip.
Oh.
Besides, you already have tickets coming out of your ear hole.
You.
Benjamin.
Not everyone has a Ticket Oak.
Go to bed, champ.
But everyone can use StubHub. StubHub, where do you want to sit?
This is perfect.
Packers are gonna be tough this year.
Hope so.
Aww. Yeah!
I mean, aw, yeah.
That's six sacks on the season.
Actually, it's seven.
Even better, baby.
With NFL Mobile from Verizon, no one will know the game better than you.
Play Matthew!
Well, almost no one. Watch live NFL games Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights on NFL Mobile and experience football on Verizon 4G LTE.
Bob? Oh, hey, Alex. Just picking up some brochures, posters. Copies of my acceptance speech.
Great. It's always good to have a backup plan in case I get hit by a meteor.
Wow, your hair looks great. Didn't realize they did Photoshop here.
Hey, good call on those mugs. Can't let them see what you're drinking.
You know, I'm glad we're both running a nice, clean race. No need to get nasty.
Here's your honk if you had an affair with Taylor yard sign.
Looks good.
FedEx Office. Now save 50% on banners.
We are a winning team, a partnership supreme. Bob and the Redskins are bold, and we fight for quality, choice and value, honesty, a cause that we vow to uphold. Yes, we'll fight, fight, fight with the last ounce of our might till those phony sales and gimmicks are no more. When you see Bob take the field, all the wannabes will yield to the Redskins' official furniture store.
I believe with the reaction that Madu Williams had after that pass fell short to Macklin, he was upset about the coverage from the rookie. And you got a rookie out there, obviously, you know, they're going to be picked on, and Richard Crawford's going to have to step up. But they know how to win now, and they know they've got a lot of weapons. And then you got the Cowboys coming to town, everything on the line, winner take all, high stakes, prime time. I mean, it's going to build all week, and it's going to be super exciting. I think the fans – you know, obviously, in the old days at RFK, and I don't think Antoine ever played in RFK. I kind of doubt that.
No.
But you know, the structure obviously has something to do with it. But the fans come out. When the fans are so engaged, they can cause problems for a team. I'll tell you this, Antoine was on the field against the Chicago Bears when the Redskins fans caused several false starts by the Bears just a few years ago. So the fans can play a big part in it, and I know they're pumped.
Hey, Larry, is this compared to the games that have happened so far in FedEx Field, this has to be one of the biggest games ever in that stadium?
Well, I mean, it was a playoff game there years ago, and there's been some big games. You played in a couple yourself in a couple playoff runs, but as you say, in 07, you beat the Cowboys in the final game of the season at FedEx Field to move on to play Seattle. The following week, fell to Seattle on the road. So, you know, there have been some big games, but with the drama, with the history of the series, I mean, you go back to the championship games back at RFK and some of the huge games these teams have played over the years, this game is going to make its way into the history books one way or the other. You know, win or lose, it's going to be in the history books between this great rivalry between the Cowboys and Redskins, and every player in the game is going to remember this game. It is like a playoff game. Redskins have had that mentality, though, and I got to be honest with you, I think Chris would agree, that was the most subdued locker room of the six-game winning streak to me. I think they say, well, look, you know, we really have no time to celebrate, and I think the question was asked of Mike Shanahan whether the 24-hour rule would stay in effect or would you get started a little bit earlier. I think you have to celebrate because you're kind of tired the day after a game, and it is Christmas, so players won't be around for a couple of days. They'll get a chance to celebrate. But as far as the mental preparation, it began last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The voice of the Redskins, Larry Michael, joining us here on Monday morning Redskins Roundup as the Redskins get ready for an NFC East battle for the division crown against the Dallas Cowboys Sunday Night Football at FedEx Field. Larry will be on the radio call on ESPN 980 and the Redskins Radio Network. Let me ask you this, Larry. The defense, not going to get always the credit that it probably deserves during this stretch. It's getting some, but they still continue to allow a lot of yards, and there were still some moments, as you mentioned, Richard Crawford, even that drop touchdown by the tight end, or what presumably would have been a touchdown if he didn't drop it at the one. But the pass rush, the pressure, that is one constant theme we have seen during this six-game winning streak. Of course, Ryan Kerrigan, but Barry Cofield, Stephen Bowen finishing the game, Jarvis Jenkins lighting up LeSean McCoy on a key series. That defensive line, for all the talk the linebackers have got, that defensive line is pretty much controlling a lot of what the defense does in this stretch.
Well, I mean, number one, the one coach who never gets mentioned is Jacob Burney. Mm-hmm. He's a defensive line coach. He gets zero pub. And actually, the rotation of that defensive line has been remarkable, keeping guys fresh. Everybody plays. Doug Worthington plays. Chris, every single one of the defensive linemen is part of that rotation. And to see a guy like Stephen Bowen make the final play of the game, to come off a block and just showing great speed for a guy his size to chase down Foles and force him into that intentional grounding. For a guy who's got that injury that he has to be out there at the end of the game like that, and Barry Cofield had a marvelous game. Thought we'd almost see the taser there, almost got a sack in there. But you're right, Chris. I mean, the defensive line has been outstanding, and the mixing of the blitzes, you know, to see guys come clean like they have. Mm-hmm. Madu Williams came clean yesterday, and to keep that quarterback guessing. Romo will be a little tougher. Obviously, he's seen a lot more defenses than Nick Foles has seen, but I think that's been the masterful touch that Haslett has had, because secondary personnel is the same secondary personnel that's been there all year. In fact, there are fewer of them there that were there at the beginning of the year. So it has been triggered by the pass rush. And Kerrigan, great game. And to see a guy like Lorenzo Alexander, I think I got to tip my hat to him too, because he has worked himself into the rotation. The linebacker rotation now keeps everybody fresh and keeps people guessing. And Lorenzo is now, part of that defensive package on a third down. And Rob Jackson's played great. And, how quickly the hands of time are turned back for a guy like London Fletcher. He gets his fifth interception. For him, that's a career high. And he's been in the league 100 years. And for him to have that type of performance this year and be banged up along the way, think if you're London Fletcher right now. You go from 3-6, and you're obviously approaching the end of your career. Are you going to get another shot to make the playoffs? And all of a sudden, he can win the NFC East with the Redskins. So you got to feel every single member of the football team is inspired by what's happened. And I don't think they want this to end, obviously. I think, I'm expecting a great game out of the Redskins on Sunday. I think the preparation will be there. The injury situation, not overwhelmed with a lot of injuries. You got a couple guys you'll keep your eye on this week. And Robert will be a week healthier for this next game. And taking the Cowboys out of that nice controlled dome and bringing them out to what's certainly going to be Redskin weather on Sunday. I don't know the forecast, but it's not going to be warm.
It is going to be chilly. We can pretty much assure that, but it is going to be an electric, rocking atmosphere, and you'll be on the call. Larry, great job, as always. We thank you for always joining us. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Appreciate you coming aboard.
I want to say that you guys have done a marvelous job. Not that this is our last show, but next week is our last show. You guys have done a marvelous job. You look beautiful as I watch you guys on web in those beautiful
handsome
shirts.
Well, he looks beautiful, great. Not me. I mean, there's only so much you can do with me.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. And no doubt about it, it will be electrifying on Sunday night.
Absolutely. Thank you, Larry.
Thanks,
appreciate
Larry.
It.
Thank
Larry
you,
Michael, for joining us
on this. Hey, man, give yourself some credit, man. Hey, man, you got to say, you just tell yourself, I look good. I look good.
I look beautiful. I look beautiful. Let's get a couple of tweets, comments, right. questions in here before we go too far. At Redskins, hashtag Redskins talk from Curtis Garner. If the Redskins win the division next week, does Mike Shanahan deserve coach of the year?
I would say he does. I mean, just from where they started off, going 3-6 and then finishing up. Yes, give it to Coach Shanahan. I mean, the 3-6 start and then the turnaround at the bye week, all the confusion and some comments that he made that were turned around and twisted, you know, and then you got to look away how the players have stepped up, you know, really have backed him and been there. So he's got the respect of the players, obviously, to put him on the field and get him going in the way that he has. You got to give him some credit. I think you got to give him that, you know, that coach of the year, if you will. I mean, you got to think he'll be matched up against Pete Carroll.
Down
to Seattle.
I don't know if they do that NFC, AFC, or if it's just one. I get confused with all these postseason awards.
But I think Coach Hand he'll be a good guy to recommend for coach of the year.
It'd be interesting if the Redskins were to win the division, they could likely face Seattle and Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, and who knows, Richard Sherman, the corner, the very good corner who blocked, who recovered the blocked field goal last night and then ran it all the way back for the touchdown. He has his appeal hearing this week. He could be suspended for the playoffs if the NFL upholds the suspension, or it could be overturned, which clearly they weren't willing to do for the Redskins when it came to Jordan Black and other cases like that. One more here before we hit the break. Michael Jenkins, I don't know if this is the Michael Jenkins from CSN Washington or not, but Michael Jenkins asks, Ryan Kerrigan put on a clinic and a never giving up on a play. What can you say about his hustle?
It's stupendous, if you will. He does a whole lot in terms of just getting to the football. And we've seen this last year when he came in. He's been one of the guys that just he wants to come in and be a staple on that defense. His hustle, his attitude, even when you talk to him after games, it's just you know his whole attitude. He just want to get to the quarterback and make big-time plays and help his team. When you got a guy like that, that has that drive, has that motor, he's going to be productive for you. Now, again, we talk about his hustle, but he's a smart player. You get him sometimes when he rushes in there to cut block him, he pauses and jumps up and bats down the ball. He's able to read screens and stuff real well. So he's turned into quite the athlete. Certainly when they drafted in the first round, they knew what they had.
We'll come back and hear from the star quarterback of the Redskins. That would be Robert Griffin III on his day yesterday in Philadelphia. That's next Monday morning Redskins Roundup presented by Verizon.
Bob. Oh, hey, Alex. Just picking up some brochures, posters, copies of my acceptance speech.
Great. It's always good to have a backup plan in case I get hit by a meteor.
Wow, your hair looks great. Didn't realize they did Photoshop here.
Hey, good call on those mugs. Can't let them see what you're drinking.
You know, I'm glad we're both running a nice, clean race. No need to get nasty.
Here's your honk if you had an affair with Taylor Yard sign.
Looks good.
FedEx Office. Now save 50% on banners.
We are a winning team, a partnership supreme. Bob and the Redskins are bold, and we fight for quality, choice and value, honesty, a cause that we vow to uphold. Yes, we'll fight, fight, fight with the last ounce of our might till those phony sales and gimmicks are no more. When you see Bob take the field, all the wannabes will yield to the Redskins' official furniture store.
As the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, Papa John's is excited for this week's big games. Get Papa John's in your house to watch your favorite NFL team. Because after all, great football deserves a better pizza. Hey, Redskins fans, it's Papa John's toppings for touchdowns time. Every Monday, get a large pizza for just $9.99 and a free topping for every Redskins touchdown. Double the toppings with a Redskins victory. Papa John's, official pizza of the Washington Redskins.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
You said you'd get me on the field.
I did get you on the field.
You are Brian Arakpo, all-pro linebacker. Surely you could do better than this.
Come on, sunshine. It's game time. Squad's waiting.
This is embarrassing, Brian. They've got me on the bottom of the pyramid.
You know what else is embarrassing? Paying too much for car insurance. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.